This is the Tom Likas Show.
Drug dealing, hookers, and loud music.
And now, from the New Normal Studios in
Burbank. No shit, it's retarded.
Thank you for tuning into the Tom Likas Show. From the New Normal Studios in Burbank, this is where we hear you live Monday through Friday. 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 24-7 at tom.show. You can hear us in our free app. Get it at the App Store. Get it at Google Play. Or get it at tomeverywhere.com. That's tomeverywhere.com. Thank you for tuning in. Thanks for being part of the program. We appreciate it. Here we are together again, you and me. Another bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. And as he does every Tuesday, sauntering into the studio, it's criminal defense attorney Adam Satz. Adam, good to see you.
Good to see you, Tom.
What's going on?
No, I'm a little scratchy tonight, Tom, so...
Well, I've been there.
Go easy on me. I know you bit your tongue, right? That was nasty.
Bit my tongue.
Ugh.
It's very, you know, you never think about biting your tongue until you realize that in this business, that's hazardous.
It's definitely not the thing to be doing.
Terrible.
So, tonight we're going to do criminal law. I have a very interesting case this week, and I'm going to have my client call in.
It's already on hold.
Great. You'd be surprised, Tom. There are a lot of people out there, and I mean a lot of people out there, who have unresolved stuff. These generally dissolve over time if you don't do what you're supposed to do, or you miss your court dates, or whatever. You get a bench warrant. And you'd be amazed how many people have... several outstanding warrants, and they're just sort of walking around, and under very screwy circumstances, they end up having contact with the police somehow, and it ends up coming to be a real problem. They get arrested, they're in it up to their eyeballs. My guy had a DUI that was unresolved many years ago, and I cleaned it all up for him. So, is he there?
He is here, and he is here. I don't know if his name is Jay, but that's his name for the next 10 minutes or so. Hi, Jay.
You Jay on?
What's going on, guys?
Hey, how are you?
Good, Adam. How are you?
Good. I really appreciate you coming on. I want to talk about your story.
All right.
We were just explaining, I was just explaining how some people have these outstanding warrants. Now, you got a DUI, right, back in 2008 or 9?
Nine, correct.
And you, I think you just got a lawyer and you just took a plea, right?
Correct.
Okay. And that was supposed to be pretty much resolved. And somehow, some part of it, you didn't take care of, right? You didn't do the community service or you didn't pay the whole fine, right?
Yes.
So this was essentially hanging over you. I mean, like,
right.
For years, right?
Well, for years.
I mean, did you ever think about it? Like, did you ever, like, you know, go to a party and they call the cops and you're thinking, oh, man, if I get questioned, I'm gonna have a big problem here.
No, I didn't at all. I mean, now in hindsight, it knocks me on my feet.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So,
I mean, you realize any time they pull you over for going 56 or 55, they could have checked you out and found out that you had a bench warrant waiting for you.
Right.
Right.
But you also
had the crazy part.
You had kind of an unresolved driver's license also, right?
Yes.
See, I'm amazed, Tom, how many people, believe it or not, drive without a driver's license or a suspended license or whatever because of issues like this. And so, like you say, all they need is to be going 1 mile over to make an illegal left turn or whatever, and where the rest of us would get a ticket wouldn't be a big deal. For them, it's like, you know, ends up being a catastrophe.
Yeah. And by the way, while we're talking about this,
sure.
More than once, I'm in an unfamiliar neighborhood, and I'm looking at an intersection where I can't tell where the street continues. I'll name an intersection like this, Coldwater Canyon.
Okay.
And for those who live in L.A., Coldwater Canyon Avenue goes through the Hollywood Hills, and you get to a point where there's like a five-way intersection. It's Coldwater Canyon, Mulholland Drive, another Mulholland Drive, and there's like this crazy sign up there. And literally, even though I have lived in L.A. the better part of 30 years, there are times I'm going through Coldwater Canyon when I'm in the middle of the intersection not knowing which way to go. Now, I live here.
I love it.
So now, if I had a bench warrant, theoretically,
that would be your moment, huh?
Simply sitting there in that position, not knowing whether to turn left or right, and I'm in the middle of the intersection, that would have done me in.
Okay. So it wasn't quite that bad, right, Jay?
No. Very fortunate. Tom, very lucky.
Tom has his moment here. So anyway, so you hired me, right? And we were gonna clean everything up and even get your record expunged. That was the idea, right?
Yes, it was.
And we came in and you know, as opposed to, like Tom said, as opposed to getting pulled over, you come in with me, your lawyer, and you're trying to get things cleaned up. So you're actually voluntarily coming in. And how did the judge react at first?
I mean, it was a shock to you as well. The judge actually left the courtroom to go discuss, I guess, my case with the bailiff and the clerk.
Wow.
And, you know, in the chambers. And then she came out 10 minutes, like, I don't know, 5-10 minutes later. It's just, you can tell she was very agitated.
Right. What happened was, I don't know why they did this. It's something they projected on you. You seem like a very regular guy to me, but they somehow thought you were going to, like, run, right?
Right.
So when we came in, I don't know what happened, but there was like a semi-circle of deputies behind us, right?
Correct.
They were kind of expecting something to happen. There was going to be an incident. I don't know what you did that gave you that reputation. But ultimately, the judge kind of came down very hard. She seemed very angry that it had been so old, right? It was many years old. And she scheduled a hearing about a week later. And we came in a week later, and then what happened? Do tell.
Well, right before the week later, let's talk about the arresting officer who took me back. Actually said, hey, they thought you were going to run. That's why we were there. But looking at you, you voluntarily came in.
Right.
You came with private counsel. He just didn't understand. Like, he was lost. But, you know, a week later, we go back in. I mean, it's the same judge, but a different judge, if that makes sense.
Well, I put my magic dust on her is what happened.
Oh, I mean, there was some amazing magic dust, Adam, because it was a total different person.
See, I was thinking about this movie with Robert Redford, you know, the horse whisperer. This is a guy that could take, like, a wild horse, and he knew how to, like, get to the horse and to talk to the horse and calm the horse down. Remember that?
Yeah.
So I was trying to do that with the judge, right?
You succeeded. I guess that's your trade secret.
Yeah.
It worked. It was just unbelievable. It was a totally different judge because the judge the first time wanted my blood.
Right.
But this time around, I mean, she was nice.
Well, we played it smart because, like we say, you came in voluntarily. It's not like you got arrested. And you paid some fines, right, some money that you owe the court. I think the community service, she just let go, right? You just never did that, basically.
Yeah.
And now the case is closed. And in a couple of months, we're going to apply for an expungement. And you'll be clean as a whistle, right?
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. I mean, just the last 2 weeks was, you know, everything was just flipped upside down. And I'm on the flip side now.
So basically, thanks. When we're done now... we're still finishing up a couple of things, but basically, you're not having any kind of thing hanging over you. You don't have the arrest anymore hanging over you. We're getting your driver's license restored in a couple of weeks. We're going to get an expungement. And basically, you're going to be completely free of all this and a regular guy. I mean, with nothing to worry about, right?
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
That must feel good, right? Don't you feel like you took a dump or something? I mean, how is it?
No, it's better than taking a dump. I mean, it's like taking the biggest dump.
Can I quote you on that? Adam Sachs,
yes,
better
please.
Than taking a dump.
Thanks, Tom.
Your dump.
Yeah.
But seriously, I mean, when we came out of court, I remember you looking at me and just going, dude, what just happened? Like, it was like a blur, right?
Absolutely. I'm still experiencing the hangover from it.
Yeah. I mean, there was a couple of moments when it could have gone either way, and I remember you came in and we were thinking maybe you were going to, you know, get taken in, maybe they were going to hold you for a couple of days, or we weren't exactly 100% sure, and the judge did seem kind of annoyed, you know?
Let me ask a question myself here. I'm curious,
of course.
Jay. What What made you realize that you had to deal with this? You know, we have people all the time who call in with these situations. What was it that put you over the top and made you call Adam?
I needed to get things cleared up, you know, get my life in order.
Did you? So you heard Adam talking about it here?
Absolutely, yes. You're correct.
And that was where you got the idea. Well, it's so important that that message gets out.
You're a fan of the show, right?
Yes, yes.
Right, right.
That, you know, just week after week, what Adam says, I mean, it's an important message, you know, and I don't think people should take it lightly.
I think that, you know, generally speaking, a lot of people don't take care of things. And, you know, they think the thing they say that, you know, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure, you know. If you call me and you've already been arrested, or usually it's not you, you're in jail, your sister calls me or your mother calls me and says to me, my son is in jail, and I go see you in jail, and now it's a big deal because, you know, you've been arrested and all. I think it's a lot smarter, all you guys out there that are like Jay, that have some BS, you know, hanging over you like this. If you want to be a regular person and just live your life and, you know, get a job and pass a background check and whatnot, you know, you don't want to be held back by this nonsense. And, you know, you did have to pay, you know, a fine and some other stuff that hadn't been paid before. But, you know, in perspective, now we're getting it all cleaned. Everything's taken care of. You know, I think that that's worth a fortune in terms of peace of mind, right? And Jay, you've had some health problems, right? So this wasn't exactly encouraging you to feel better about that either.
No, not at all. I mean, you know, some symptoms came back, so it wasn't fun, but it was necessary.
Yeah. I have a lot of cases like yours where I really win the case, and, you know, we come out of the court and everything happens so fast that the person with me, my client, is like, what happened, you know? And I know that you were almost half expecting to be arrested, you know, that they're gonna put you away for like 30 days or whatever. And when it finished and we walked down to the hallway, you were looking at me and you were just like I could see in your eyes that you just did not know which way was up. It was like crazy, you know.
But I'm really... right. I felt like we ran out of there.
Yeah.
You know, I felt like we ran out of there.
I remember saying, "Let's get out of here before she changes her mind," you know.
Exactly.
That was great. No, I was really proud to help you out, dude. It really felt great, and I'm glad it worked out.
It's me saying thank you to you. You know, like, I'm pretty sure there's other attorneys to get stuff done, but, I mean, you did it. You really, really cared. You know, you worried for me. I mean, you did things, like, that I couldn't do because I was in shock and I was just out of it, you know?
Yeah,
and that's where, you know, I really, truly appreciate you.
For sure, I appreciate it. It's one of the reasons you need a lawyer, because you need someone who's objective, who's, you know, if it's you, you're a little too into your own case to really be able to cope with it, you know?
Right.
Anyways, it was great representing you, and thanks a lot for telling your story.
IJ, thank you. Good luck. Look at that.
So I want to tell the boys, you know, you don't want to let it go, Tom, until it's a catastrophe. And I have a lot of guys, you'd be amazed, Tom, by you know this, I think. If you don't pay just a regular ticket, if you miss the court or whatever, your $200 ticket all of a sudden becomes $900 and then $1,500 and then it's $2,000. I've had guys who call me and say to me, holy smoke, I owe $2,000.
Right.
And I've gone in and I've gotten those fixed and reduced and, you know, made normal or whatever. You've got to be proactive. You've got to be. If you know that you have something like this, I was just talking to a guy today who's looking at getting a really good job as some kind of a stockbroker and with a real potential, a real future. He's really excited. And, you know, towards the end of it, they say, look, we're going to do a thorough background check. And all of a sudden, his heart fell out, you know, because he has a DUI about 7 years ago. And he knows that they're probably going to find it and they're going to say, what, you got a DUI? You an idiot? Whatever. And he might lose the job, you know, potentially. And so the first thing I got to do is expunge it for him. And then I've got guys that have things that are unresolved, where they have tickets, they have stuff in their record that they didn't, you know, take care of, like Jay, where they have a bench warrant somewhere or whatever. And, you know, it's not the easiest thing, but you've got to face it, deal with it with a professional, and like we did with Jay, get it taken care of, and then you're back on your track again.
We'll take a break here. We got a lot of calls coming in here.
Great.
We're going to take them for Adam Sachs. We have one guy who says that his ex-girlfriend slapped him. We have a guy who has four tickets, and he's a commercial driver.
Oh, God.
And more.
Poor guy.
So it's criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs in the bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. You got legal questions. This is free legal advice for you. All you need to do is call this number and talk to Adam directly. 901-3000-TOM. Come on, let's do it. 901-3000-TOM. We'll take every call we get. 901-3000-866.
Don't let your smartphone be a dumbass. Download the Tom Likas app now. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
It is the Tom Likas Show. From the New Normal Studios in Burbank, it's our weekly bonus hour with criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs in studio. And if you want free legal advice from Adam right now, you just call this number, 901-3000-TOM. 901-3000-TOM, that's the number, 901-3000-866. Here comes Chris in Reno on the Tom Likas Show for Adam. Hello.
Hello, Tom.
Hello, Chris.
Hey, Chris.
And how are you doing, Adam?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Hey, I just got a little something. This was about 10 years ago, and my ex-girlfriend, we were living in an apartment, and I was working two full-time jobs. She wasn't doing shit, and so, yeah, not surprising.
I can't believe it.
And, yeah, and so I woke up at, like, 3 a.m. or something because I was going to watch, I think it was the French or Wimbledon tennis, and I had to get up at, like, 3 to watch it live. So I get up, and I grab a beer, and eventually she wakes up and she says, I have the TV too loud. She comes out, she slaps me in the face so hard that it made me spill my beer. So I go to clean up the mess, and then she goes into the kitchen and empties out my growler of beer that I had in the refrigerator. So I just raised my hands up in the air and said, screw it, I'll just go back to bed. And I went back to bed, and she woke me up a short time later and said, you better leave because the police are coming. So I start packing up a box, you know, full of some clothes, and I walk down the stairs from our from our second floor apartment, and there's two cops there to meet me, and they just asked me, are you Chris? And I said, yes. And they immediately told me to put my hands behind my back and arrest me for domestic violence. And my ex-girlfriend at the time went to court, you know, when I had my court date, and she tried to drop charges. But, of course, at that point in time, it's up to the state and not the individual.
Right.
And she had, what she told me was she had pinched herself to make it look like she had bruises.
Oh, my God.
Exactly.
We've heard these kinds of stories before.
I heard the one that hit their face into the wall.
Right.
Oh, Lord. It's ridiculous. But anyways, I subsequently got, you know, I had the domestic violence. I had, I was supposed to go to 16 weeks of classes. I went to two classes, and the counselor, after the second class, the counselor pulled me aside and said, don't come back here anymore. You don't belong here. But anyways, like I said, that was like over, just over 10 years ago. And I tried to buy a firearm recently, and they denied me because apparently that's still on my record. How long does that stay on my record, and is it possible to get that expunged?
Right. Well, you know, what you just talked about is not unusual at all. There's a belief, as you can see, when the police arrive, that it must be the guy who started it, you know, the guy who's the abuser. But, you know, the statistics...
They didn't even ask me... Yeah. They didn't even ask me one question
of
when
they
arrested me, not
the,
one.
The assumption is that it's the guy. But there are statistics and studies, and you'll recall we had this lady, Erin Pitsey, on as a guest last year, talking about this, that domestic violence is typically an equal problem between men and women. And we've seen it in movies where, you know, the guy gets a slap across the face or the woman punches him or whatever, and somehow our society accepts that. So, you know, she's mad at you, she punches you, she calls the cops, and then for some reason you're the one being arrested. So, you know, a lot of guys figure, I'll explain it to the police and they'll understand. Bullshit, they're not going to understand.
And they don't even listen to you.
As you see this other thing, which is then, you know, she comes in rationally the next day and goes to court and tells everybody, look, let's drop the charges. You know, it was just a silly thing I did, and I punched my own self, or I knocked my face into the wall, or your girl pinched herself or whatever. And the answer is, no, it's too late. Once it starts and the ball's rolling down the hill, there's no stopping it. Now, a lot of people tell me, you know, they had a DUI or they had some other conviction, and they say to me, but it's been 6 years or it's been 7 years and it's been expunged. And the answer is, no, it's not. It has not. And your case, whatever it was, I'm not really clear exactly what happened. It sounds like you pled guilty or something.
I can't remember. It was too long ago.
Whatever happened, the fact that it's 10 years ago doesn't mean anything. It's a conviction. It's going to be on your record forever. You have got to affirmatively go to court, like we talk about, and I have to go for you and get it expunged. And that's when it gets eliminated. It doesn't matter how many years pass.
Are you able to do that in the state of Nevada, Adam?
Sure, no problem. I can do it. But what I'm trying to tell you is it's never going to go away. That's why all these years later, you don't even remember exactly what happened. But as you see, it's out there in the computers. We have, you know, high tech now. These records never go away. And you're applying for a gun or a job or a license or whatever, and it comes up and they say, sorry, Kate, you can't have a gun. You're convicted of domestic violence. And you're going, what? What? I've got guys from other states that have a conviction in another state, like in California, and they now live in New York or in Illinois or whatever, and it still, you know, refers to this national database. And that never goes away. So you've got to square that first, and you've got to make sure that you don't have these things hanging over you. I'll take care of it for you, and then we can review it in Nevada or wherever. But the bottom line is that you've got to affirmatively take care of it, because otherwise it will remain in place forever.
And what does a procedure like that typically cost?
I usually do it for a flat rate. It depends on, you know, how much of the materials you have. If I have to research it, if I have to look up the case, or if you have the papers. A lot of times I talk to people and it's 10, 12 years ago and they don't even have the case number anymore. So,
yeah, I don't have any of that.
Yeah, that might make it cost a little extra if I have to do research and find the conviction and find the other information. But I'll be happy to talk to you about that. Give me a call. And it's pretty routine. And as I've said on the show many times, when I do these things for people, they are so happy afterwards. It's such a relief.
Absolutely.
You know? It's like you're starting with a clean slate. It's like you're, you know, newborn. And people are so relieved.
Yeah, I figured it was just like a ticket where, you know, after a few years it would just go away.
I don't think tickets go away either. And this should be a lesson to the boys not to have a woman living with you. Because, you know, she's feeling irrational, she's pissed off, she dials 911, and things are never the same after that.
Yeah, well, you know what they say, women think with their feelings and guys think with their minds.
I know, but the problem is the woman's
feelings. No, guys think with their dicks, get it straight.
Is it the dicks? whatever they're thinking with, they have too much power with those feelings that you're talking about, that she's pissed off at you, or she wants to prove something to you, and that sets a process in motion that cannot be stopped and has big consequences.
Okay. Well, I appreciate the advice, and I will definitely be giving you a call. I hear your phone number on Tom's show all the time, so...
I'll tell you what, if you hang on, I'll put you on with Dino, and he'll get you directly in touch with Adam, so you can get the whole thing started, all right?
Talk to you soon.
Good luck, Chris. 901-3000-TOM. It's criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs with free legal advice for you. 901-3000-866. Elias in Los Angeles, you're on with Adam Sachs.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. I hope you guys are doing well.
Yeah.
I have a question for Adam. So here's the deal. I drive for a living. I have a TCP license on my vehicle. I don't know if you're familiar with that. Anyways, and my commercial insurance, they only allow 2 tickets on my record. And I had 2 tickets until last week. And the last week, I get 2 more tickets.
No.
So
what about those 2 you had? Did you fight them?
One was for I had 2 licenses on me. I had a New York and a California license. So I went to court, and you know, the judge, he said I just paid the fine, and he told me where's the other license. I told him I destroyed it, and he's like, okay, then you're good to go.
Okay.
But it's the thing is, it still shows up on my record, on my driving record.
When you're a commercial driver, you don't have a margin for error. You know, a regular person driving has traffic school, and they give you a break in certain ways. You know, when you're a commercial driver, if you get a ticket of any kind, you've got to hire a lawyer, and you've got to let me go and deal with it. Because like you see, if you get one or two of these, that's the end of your license, that's the end of your insurance, that's the end of your job.
I have a regular license.
No, I'm talking about the commercial license.
Oh, no, I don't need a commercial license for a TCP, to have a TCP license.
Okay.
It's the vehicle is commercial. I have a TCP license on the vehicle.
Okay.
But I'm not required to have a commercial license. I have a regular license.
I understand, but if you get more than 2 tickets, you're not going to be able to insure the vehicle.
Right.
So you can't afford to have licenses and tickets on them floating around. And so you don't go to court by yourself, no matter what the story is. You always have me go for you and fight them, because if you get 2 in a row, like I said, you're going to lose your career.
Yeah, and I don't want that to happen.
Right.
And I was just,
the stakes are too high.
I should have hired a lawyer.
Yeah, well, a lot of guys put this off, and they say, well, I'll save the money on hiring a lawyer, but the price of losing your license is much, much higher than anything I could charge you.
Yeah, I didn't think something like that would show up on my record, you know?
Of course, everything shows.
Yeah.
They're very strict
on
commercial
guys. Yeah, they go very hard on us, the police.
True. No doubt.
They don't... Yeah, and the other one was because I didn't have my registration on me, so I got a ticket for that.
Yeah, but see, that's silly. You should have had a lawyer fight that. I would have gotten that dismissed.
Until 2 weeks ago, and until last week. And last week I got 2 more tickets.
What'd you get 2 more for?
Those 2. One for I run a red light, even though it was yellow.
Yeah.
The police officer told me, you know, he wasn't very nice. He told me, no, it's red. And I didn't want to argue with him, but I went, yeah, it's fine. Just, you know, give me the ticket.
Did you ever consider not living on the edge like that? You know, slowing down a little bit? Stopping on yellow?
Yeah, I should have. But it was yellow, though. It wasn't red. But he still didn't care.
Right, I understand. What about the other one?
And the other one was I didn't have a weigh bill on me. So I had a... When you have a passenger in your car, you have to have a weigh bill.
That's
and
right.
I forgot. I didn't have a...
Dude, you're playing it, like, not carefully. That's obvious. You're letting a lot of stuff slide. And, you know, you're going to pay the ultimate price. So 2 things is you got to cut the BS. You can't be running yellow lights. And you can't be, you know, screwing around with your paperwork and your registration and whatnot. And second of all, if you're getting ticketed, and they love to ticket guys like you, you've got to let me or some lawyer, whoever, take care of it. You cannot go to court by yourself. Because you think you're saving money, you know, aren't I clever? I'm going to court and taking care of this. But in the end, like I said, you're going to lose your license, which is priceless.
Yeah, and especially the police officers. I mean, you know, when
they're very tough on guys like you. It's a fact.
Yeah, when I drive my personal vehicle, they're very nice, very polite. But when I drive the other vehicle, they're like, you know, they're so rude with us. They, you know, it's unbelievable.
Of course, you wouldn't get into these situations if you stopped screwing around, which is what you're doing. You're screwing around. When you go out there without the proper paperwork, when you're running red, yellow lights, when you are driving around without your registration on you, you're just asking for trouble.
Yeah, I'm just fucking around. I didn't take it seriously.
All right, well, you need to stop fucking around. Bottom line.
Yeah. I learned the hard way.
And please don't go to court without a lawyer. That's ridiculous. As I said, you have too much at stake.
I have a full date next month.
All right, well, let me do it for you, whatever the story is, okay? The Amber ticket or whatever, the no-way bill. And, again, you've got to be much more meticulous. It sounds to me like you're just sort of working off the seat of your pants. And, basically, you're going to be calling me in 6 months, you know, singing the blues, saying, hey, man, I'm unemployed now. I lost everything. I can't do my regular job anymore because I got no insurance and no one will insure me. And I can't believe it.
Yeah.
And you were making a
really
good living,
like,
and now it's gone. Well, terrific. If you like it, you've got to be more protective of it.
Yeah, you're right. And I'm going to school, so this is very convenient for me because I can, you know, work whenever I want. And then,
I know. So you're giving me all the reasons that you have to be more careful, and you're not being more careful.
Yes.
You went to court, it sounds like, 2 times without a lawyer.
Yep.
And you're going to go next month without a lawyer. Suicide.
Yeah. I did some research and I spoke to an attorney and this is what they told me. They said you have to wait 3 years. There is no way you can get those off your record. So
I know, but
is that true?
You're not listening to what I'm saying, dude. See, Tom, this is what gets me. Come on, say something to him.
Well, I've been saying stuff to him. I don't know what I can do.
Yeah, you said I had to hire a lawyer.
But there's no way you're going to, right? I mean, you just told me, you know, what's the story with the 3 year thing because you want to do it yourself. You got to stop doing it yourself.
No, I meant I spoke to other lawyers. They said they can't do it. So I would like to know if you are able to.
Yeah,
if
you understand.
Are, I will.
Okay.
Okay.
I think your bigger problem is the fact that you've got court next month, okay? And that will be your third ticket, and that'll be the end of your insurance and the end of your career, okay?
Yeah.
And you've got to recognize that you need help and ask for help and get the help. Okay?
Yeah, I want to. I do.
Okay.
All right. Hang on. We're going to put Dean in touch with you and Adam in touch through Dean. Dean's going to handle that right now.
You know, there's a great saying, Tom, which is that the person that represents themselves has a fool for a client. And you see that a lot of people want to be the fool.
I know that. But again, hiring an attorney is so inexpensive compared to the consequences of your actions.
Here's a guy who's losing his whole career.
Right.
That's the consequences.
And he's saying how much he loves his job.
That's right. And it suits his life, and it's terrific. But if he doesn't spend $1,000 on a lawyer, he's going to lose the job, which is worth $100,000 a year.
A year?
Right.
Right. Now hopefully he'll do the right thing.
Yeah, but I explained it to him 3 or 4 times, and you could hear from what he was saying.
I know.
That he's still not going to do it.
I know. Well, it's going to be kicking and screaming for that guy.
I'm sorry.
He's going to find out the hard way.
Well, it's a tragedy, because then he calls me when he's lost his license and says, hey, what do I do now?
Right.
And I don't really have a good solution at some point.
Yes, exactly. Well, Dean is going to put Elias in touch with Adam, and hopefully... he will listen to reason. 901-3000, Tom, that's our telephone number. We have one more segment coming up here with criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs, and that means you've got one more chance to call in here with your questions. You have legal questions? Have you been accused of committing a crime? Have you gotten a DUI? Have you been busted for drugs? Have you been busted for something somebody else did? Or whatever. Adam deals with this stuff.
You got framed.
Maybe you got framed for doing something very, very bad that you didn't do. Maybe you did it, but nobody really has any proof. Okay. Nobody's automatically guilty. That's what court is all about. That's what having a good attorney is all about. 901-3000, Tom. That's our telephone number to talk to Adam Sachs right now. 901-3000-866.
Don't let your smartphone be a dumbass. Download the Tom Likas app.
Now. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
It's the Tom Likas Show from the New Normal Studios in Burbank. At 901-3000-TOM. That's our telephone number. We're here with criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs, and your questions. These are free, legal questions. You call and ask a question, won't cost you a penny. 901-3000-TOM is our number. 901 800-800-3866. Adam, how can people get in touch with you?
Well, you can call me toll-free at 1-800-340-7320. That's 1-800-340-7320. Check me out online. My website is adamlawyer.com, www.adamlawyer.com. And you can send me an email, adam at adamlawyer.com.
Now, those who have the .com
leave that one.
Extension, those we'll be giving you a list of those later, after hours.
Slip of the tongue.
Yes. 901-3000. Dot splooge will be later. That's coming up later. Let's say hi here to James in Los Angeles. James, you're on the Tom Likas Show with Adam Sachs. Hello. James?
Yes, I'm here.
Did you plan to start talking at any point?
Yes, I had a question. I recently got into a domestic case in the state of Nevada, and a lawyer is charging me $20,000 to take it to trial. Is that a
wow.
good price for a lawyer in Nevada?
When you say $20,000, you mean for a domestic violence case?
Yes, it is.
Well, what's going on? What happened?
It's a case. It was a case, basically. Basically, I didn't touch her. She basically, a dominatrix type girl, beat the hell out of me. And
wait. So you guys had like a SM relationship?
We had like a little bit of a confrontation, but she was living with me at the time, kind of.
No, but was that like and, was that like sex play, or that was like something you were doing all the time?
It was pretty frequently. So they call it domestic violence, even though she was with another guy.
Wait a minute. Stop. I don't want to misunderstand what this guy is saying.
I think he explained it.
Well, put it this way. I think you're misunderstanding him. This is not role playing.
Okay.
This is not playing around.
He said yes.
No, but here's what he's saying. He's saying she went out and fucked somebody else, and then they got into physicality.
Right.
No. It wasn't that. We were having a disagreement that night about she thought I was sleeping with other girls, and I wasn't really doing anything.
See?
She just had a lot of mental issues, really. But now she's playing
mental chicks.
Well,
yeah, I saw all the warning signs beforehand. She was a stripper that I met out in L.A.
Oh, stripper. Great. Okay.
God, you're killing me, Larry.
So what did Artie teach me? Crazy in the head, crazy in the bed.
She
was close, but not it, though. But
okay.
Yeah.
Well, the bottom line is now you're going to pay the price, you know?
Yeah, so I have this case, and it's a felony case, for strangulation.
Felony?
And then there's a
strangulation?
So she says that I basically hit her. I hit her in the in the face with closed fists, but that didn't happen. She was on the bed. She hit me on the bed, and it got to the floor. And I had
all right. Did you hear my earlier call? You know, one way or another, as the man, you're going to be wrong. You understand that,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. I'm the police report. You can tell the police anything you want.
Okay, they're going to be convinced that you're the one who started it. You're the aggressor, and you're physically stronger, and so you beat the shit out of her. It doesn't matter what
yeah.
she did.
Okay, but it's not true, really.
What is true?
It's difficult to say, I guess, the perception on it.
No, I don't want to talk about the perception. I want to talk about what actually happened.
Right? Yeah, Tom's trying to get the story out of you.
I want to know what actually happened, not what he thinks other people think happened.
Right.
What actually happened? Who hit whom?
We got into an argument, and then she was kind of in the process of moving out.
Who was hitting?
There was no hitting. The hitting started. Well, her hitting started to me when I threw her phone in the toilet.
You threw her phone in the toilet. That's not legal, is it?
Not good, dude.
All right, so you threw her phone in the toilet.
I think the lawyer gave you a bargain of $20,000. I'll be honest with you.
Oh boy. All right, so you threw her phone in the toilet, and then what? She punched you in the face. What happened after you threw her phone in the toilet?
She did. And then
you punched her back, right?
No, I didn't hit her at all.
You didn't hit her.
We got into like a little, like a hug kind of thing. Like I didn't hit her anything, you know.
Why don't I believe you? If I were on your jury, I wouldn't believe a word you're saying right now. Do you know that?
You've got to shape this testimony up, dude. Seriously, I hope your lawyer practices a little with you.
I don't believe a word you're saying. I don't believe what you're saying.
You sound kind of all over the place.
That's crazy. Well, yeah, I know, and I think I need to hire an attorney for it. But is $20,000 a good price?
I thought you already hired a lawyer.
I do. I'm just wondering if that's a good price or if I should get rid of him and find someone else that's cheaper.
I thought you already paid him.
He's doing my payment plan. I can cease it at any time. And I paid him $5,000 so far.
Well, are you happy with him? I mean, is he making an effort? I mean, what's going on?
It's okay. He hasn't really been done
too much.
Does
he return your phone calls?
Not really, sometimes.
There's a great line, which is, I want to fire my lawyer, but I can't get him on the phone, you know?
Really?
So, You have to have someone who's responsive, and you have to have someone who you feel comfortable with, you know? What I get from my clients, and that means a lot to me, is they feel that I really care, and I'm making a real effort for them, and, you know, they call me late at night, and I answer my phone. You know, you should have a lawyer that you feel comfortable is going to protect you and is making an effort. And to be honest with you, some of the way you're talking right now to Tom and I, it's kind of shaky. You sound like you're making it up as you go. You sound like you're not being honest. You're not telling the whole story.
I have it all written down somewhere.
You can write a lie down. The fact you write something down doesn't suddenly make it true.
It needs to be written down in your brain, dude. You should know what the truth is.
You did hit her. Because she suffered injuries, and that happened somehow,
and
right?
And you flushed her phone down the toilet.
No, I didn't hit her at all that night.
So she had no bruises.
The truth is, you guys were...
She had no bruises, and then the police report there said
you guys were you're having kinky sex is what you were doing, and
no,
you
no,
strangled
should've,
her
should've
during
been.
That.
Should have been, but no, it wasn't that. She should have hit me. I always told her she should have done that, but she would never do that.
No, but I know. But
look at the mentality here. Unbelievable.
If this is the normal way that your relationship was, that you and she
shouldn't have been together, really.
I'd leave that part. You were together, okay? You said that, generally speaking, she was a dominatrix. So you guys had, like, violent sex.
She wouldn't go that way. She was more submissive with me.
All right, you had violent sex and you were the dominant one, but the point is...
No, she didn't like to be disrespected like that.
Dude, I can't get a sentence out, man. Come on.
No wonder it's $20,000. The attorney wants him to go away.
Listen,
get it.
My point is that you've got to show that this was the normal pattern in your relationship, that you guys had these confrontations that got crazy before many times, and that this particular evening was just a continuation of what you always did, and that she was a willing participant. So whether you were dominating her or she was dominating you or whatever, this was what you guys did normally for fun as some kind of kink or psychodrama.
There's pictures in my ear that's like black and there's like no marks on her. Like it's just open and shut case.
Dude, it is not an open and shut case. It's a felony domestic violence.
I have no idea how it's happening.
Okay, just trust me. It's as serious as a heart attack, okay? And from what you've said so far, I would pay the $20,000 and do whatever my lawyer tells me, okay?
Okay.
And you better start taking it seriously now, not after you lose the trial, okay?
Damn, wow.
Snap out of it, dude. You know, Tom, you can't underestimate denial. And I talk to a lot of people that are facing serious crimes and serious offenses and could go to jail, and they're all mixed up. And, you know, you've got to listen to your lawyer, and you've got to focus, and you've got to prepare to give testimony that's going to be believable. I mean, what you said is right, Tom. If you say this load of bullshit to a jury of 12 people, they're not going to believe you.
I don't believe a word he's saying. We have a lot of callers. I rarely say that. I'm listening to this guy's line of bullshit, and it's bullshit. And somebody who's all worried about how other people are perceiving. I don't care what you wrote down, buddy. I wrote every lie down so I would recite the script correctly. Look. The bottom line here is I rarely hear anybody that I disbelieve as much as this guy.
So you're going to vote to convict.
I would vote to convict now.
Well, there you go.
No doubt.
All right, my friend, that is not good. You got to turn that around.
And I mean, my listeners, my God, I like to think the best of them. And when they call in on this hour, generally, I believe what they're saying. I don't believe a word this guy is saying. I don't believe his name is James. I don't believe a word.
James, you got to turn this around before the trial. When's your trial?
It's going to be here in a few months.
All right, you got a lot of work to do.
I just wanted to know if it was $20,000 was a good price or not.
15th time you've asked that question.
I think your lawyer.
The
I
amount
hope
of maintenance you need, for the amount of hand holding you need, I think it's cheap. I'd judge you $40,000 minimum.
You better do what Dad
says. Just have to listen to you.
I don't think you have a right perception on it, but that's good. I appreciate the advice, though. Thank you.
I'm being honest with you. Very honest.
You better have a more believable story than that.
Yeah, I do. I can't pronounce that. Right outside my head right now.
And can I tell you something else? I'm speaking as someone who was arrested and charged with domestic violence. I know what I did and didn't do, and I'm listening to you, and I believe you did something you're not telling us. I don't think you would be accused of felony domestic violence unless this woman had a scratch on her or something. I don't.
I guess the throwing of the phone in the toilet was a felony. I didn't know that.
Throwing the phone in the toilet is not a felony. The entirety of circumstances is a felony. You were involved in some kind of a violent incident with your partner. You live with her. She was your girlfriend, right?
Yeah, kind of. But she was living with another guy at the time, really. So.
And that's why you were justified in throwing a phone in the toilet. That's what you get to tell the jury, right?
No,
of course I threw her phone
really
in the toilet. She was dating somebody else.
Dude, you're not helping yourself. You got to stop this, okay?
Yeah, but why would I lie about it if it didn't? I mean, it didn't happen, you know? Like it was just we got in an argument, and she said she was going to call the cops, and there's no
reason to
call the cops.
You're going to have a terrible experience in jail, okay? You got to start listening. You got to start listening to the professionals, okay? Now, Tom, as a non-lawyer, is telling you, just from his perception of humanity, that you don't sound very honest to him. And that should scare the shit out of you, okay? Yeah, but that should be a big indication that you got a lot of work to do. So pay your lawyer.
I know my own mind is true.
I understand. That's good. Pay your lawyer. Go and take his advice. And you need, I always do this with my clients, you need to practice and what you're going to do and how you're going to act and what the story is going to be, even if it's true and not exactly right or whatever the story is, you've got to make it authentic.
And you believe that because you claim that your girlfriend was having sex with someone else, you somehow believe that whatever went down was legitimate, that it was acceptable under the circumstances. There's not a jury on planet Earth that's going to buy that anywhere. So forget it. What you did was not justified. Stop trying to justify
it. I didn't do anything, though. But
yeah, you did. Yeah, you did. I didn't do anything, but you did.
I should have got out of the situation before, you know, anything happened.
I've been saying this for years. If a woman starts acting up this way, it's time to go.
I know, but what's done is done, okay?
They were wrestling.
It doesn't matter. What's done is done. He's been charged with it now. So talking about what you should have done is not important
anymore. Not going
to win. Yeah. Now you got to start talking about what happened and what the reasons are and what makes sense to a jury.
Okay. Did the attorney do all that, or I guess?
No, you got it. It's not, you know, people say this to me also. You don't just throw your attorney into the ring. You have teamwork. It's you and him working together. Okay, that's why you need someone who you trust, who you can talk to, and he's going to sit and practice and plan with you and plan your defense.
But this one hasn't really been that.
All right,
so
maybe he's not the right attorney. Maybe you're concentrating only on how much he's charging. And maybe the bigger issue is, what are you getting for the money? Like I said, you need someone you feel comfortable with, someone you can relate to, someone, like I said, who takes your phone calls. And you're going to have to really practice, because the way you're acting and talking right now is not helping you.
You sound like a guilty person.
Yeah, not good, dude.
That's not good.
And by the way, may I say, you know, I know about some of the challenges that Adam faces when he meets clients, and I must say, if I had to listen to you with this cockamamie story over and over, saying the same things over and over, I'd charge you $50,000. I wouldn't think twice.
Hey, Tom's tough.
How do attorney fees look like that? Is it whatever they say?
Well, it has to do with the complexity.
It's whatever you agree on.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's a felony case, Tom, and it's a
right.
Complex, obviously. It's going to be a trial.
Right, but he thinks maybe there's some regulation or some law that says it can't be above a certain amount.
No.
And I say, if your case is difficult, or if it sounds like you're a liar, or you actually did it, and you're trying to get away with something, I think it's going to cost more than if you're an innocent man being.
But it's also, you know, it's worth the $20,000 if he gets, you know, not convicted.
I would pay any amount, but I will tell you this: I wouldn't say boo unless the attorney told me to say boo. And I would not be going around saying, well, you know, she was with somebody else, and so we started wrestling on the bed. You're just begging to go to prison. You're begging for it. I'm not an attorney, but I'm telling you, as someone who's been accused of domestic violence, you are just begging to go away.
You better listen to Dad. He knows what he's talking about.
I've spent the night in jail for a domestic violence accusation. That was not true, but I know all about that world from having been through that. Now, I'm telling you, the way I had a legitimate case, and I was with somebody who said, enough already, send him home. You're with somebody who's prosecuting you.
Yeah, right.
And it's a felony.
She actually wants to see you go to jail, right? She's cooperating.
I can't believe it. It didn't make any sense.
Well, here it is. That's the problem. Like I said, denial. Knock it off, dude. Whatever you believe, she's doing it.
Yeah. I know what you mean.
No, I understand that you still have feelings for her, obviously.
Oh, no, I don't. No, I don't care about her.
No, he doesn't.
Okay. Whatever it is, she is pushing the gas pedal, right?
I guess it's the state that's doing it, but it's not like she's not doing it. I don't know why she would be so vengeful.
I know, but she is vengeful. So you got to deal
with
that.
There's just nothing that happened. Like she just making.
You got to stop saying that, dude.
God Almighty,
dude! Please, you got to stop it.
Killing me, Larry.
You're gonna realize it too late, and you'll be sorry, man. You're gonna be talking. You're gonna be talking this over with your cellmate in jail.
It's the truth, though.
Okay. I mean, the truth isn't everything, obviously. Okay. This is one of the reasons you need a lawyer,
like
is
a
because
trick.
You need objectivity.
Like a trick.
And you're still wondering why the attorney wants to charge $20,000?
Yeah.
Come on.
I'm feeling
this is your every day. Once you take this case, it's morning, noon, and night. I didn't do anything. I didn't do anything. If he was dating another guy, I didn't do anything. I want to know, don't you think $20,000 is too much? Yeah, every day, that's what you're going to be hearing. No wonder he wants $20,000. I think he's lowballing you.
All right, well, listen, I know you're going to get it together. I have faith in you.
I always do. You know,
go for a walk. Do what Tom says. Get the yellow pad.
I'm going to do the 24-hour fitness.
Go to 24-hour fitness, meditate, do a yoga class, and think about your future, okay? And think about how much you need to win this case, okay?
Right. It's going to happen anyway.
No, it's not going to happen anyway. You're going to have to make it happen with your lawyer, okay?
Okay.
Because it could go either way. So... you got to go in
there. I think I know what way it's going.
You got to go in there, and you got to fight, and you got to be prepared, and you got to stop kidding yourself, okay? So that's the most important thing. I know you got it in you, okay?
Thank you so much.
No problem.
Thank you so much.
You never underestimate the power of denial, Tom.
Oh, my God. I'll be hearing that voice in my sleep tonight.
The problem is, you know, people to convince themselves, you know, well, I didn't do anything, and you know, everyone.
Well, the thing
see
is,
that.
He's already writing his alibi as we're speaking to him.
Right. But
he's already telling us nothing happened, but it was justified what didn't happen because she's sleeping with somebody else, and we're not together anyway.
But I didn't do anything, though.
I didn't do anything. The mantra of, you know, well, that's the truth, so I'm going to be okay. Does not work.
Right.
You have to convince a jury and a judge. It's not just you and your own head.
Yeah.
And he keeps saying that he wrote it down or something, saying
right.
He knows what happened.
He rehearsed his script.
Yeah. But listening to him on the phone, he sounds completely full of shit.
Right.
So he's got to fix that pronto.
Okay. It's not true, really.
God almighty.
I love it.
Killing me. And honestly, we've been doing this show together for like 4 years.
It's been a while.
And this is the first caller you've ever had where I completely don't believe there's any possibility that he's innocent. Not even a possibility. It would take, really, that would be a miracle case. If somebody could get this guy off the hook.
That would be me, Tom.
Could you win that case?
I could whip him into shape.
All right, well... I'll give you his number.
I don't know about $20,000, though.
I'll give you his number.
I think that lawyer went a little too easy on him.
Yeah, well, you're going to be hearing this every... You take that case, you're going to be hearing it every day.
Yeah.
We'll hook you up with Jane.
How could he say that she was the dominatrix, but she was also submissive? I thought that was strange. I missed that part.
Because he's all over the road. And again, he's lying. He's writing a story. I always suss these things out. When people start talking about what other people think, first of all, we don't know what other people think.
Right.
All right? I went in front of a jury when I was sued in Alaska.
Right.
And I could sit there all day long. These are 12 strangers. I don't know what they think.
They got poker faces, right?
I don't know what I'm going to say that's going to shock them or make them feel sorry for me. I have no idea.
Right.
All I can do is tell the truth to the best of my knowledge, not go over the top. Follow my attorney's instructions and hope for the best. And I won by doing that.
Right.
But when you're sitting there talking about what people think, you're already saying people think you're guilty. But you know why? Because you are guilty and you know people think you're guilty.
At least in your own mind, right?
that made me suspicious right away when he said that people think I'm guilty, but I didn't do anything.
Well.
You know, some people thought I was guilty, but a lot of people had sympathy for me when I was accused wrongly of doing something.
Right.
And that's why I didn't end up serving 5 years in prison in Massachusetts.
Hey.
Okay, but it's not true, really.
I don't believe a word.
Oh, God.
Not a word. Adam, tell everybody, all those guilty people out there, how they can get in touch with you.
Okay, just remember, okay? You're as guilty as you feel, Tom.
Right.
You can reach me toll-free at 800-340-7320.
All right. Email address?
Adam@adamlawyer.com.
Okay, there you go. Now, if you missed any part of Adam's appearance, don't worry. Adam's coming back. It'll be another live appearance where you can call in and get free legal advice from Adam. It's coming up Tuesday at 6 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
Coast to coast.
Around the world.
And across the universe. This is the Tom Likas Show.
From the New Normal Newsroom, it's time once again for Likas 101 News for Guys. I'm Gary, he's Dino.
Wow.
Brought to you in part by Beer Magazine. Go to blowmeuptom.com, click on the Beer Magazine banner, and get your Likas discount to a year's subscription to the now fully digital magazine devoted to beer.
Better believe it.
Beer Magazine, more women than men believe financially responsible people make good romantic partners.
Of course
we know.
Yeah.
Nerd Wallet apparently surveyed more than 2,000 Americans about love and spending. Found that 44% of female participants say a potential partner's financial status rather than their physical attractiveness is what's important to them.
Damn.
Only 35% of guys said personal finances were more important than looks.
My thing has always been the hotter the chick, the lower the score, man. Credit score.
Yes.
Lots and lots.
Absolutely.
I like how there was another part of the survey that revealed millennials in relationships spend more than any other age group on Valentine's Day. Millennial men spend an average of $371
absolutely
on
insane.
Their date. $371.
Absolutely nuts. They're so stupid.
Holy shit. Man. Come out.
Yes.
Come out.
How about this study finding that hallucinogens, LSD, may prevent domestic violence?
Because you're tripping balls and can't do anything. Because you run away.
Yeah. It's absolutely unreal.
Does it mention anywhere that you think the devil's going to come pick you up in a limo and take you away if you're on
not that
LSD?
One. Not on this one. No.
Oh.
No. Not seeing that. The study actually examined 300 men between the ages of 17 and 40 who are currently serving time in prison for various offenses. Why not let them trip balls while they're all locked up? Could you imagine?
Yes.
And I guess it reduces the urge to be violent because you're just struggling even to deal
struggle-like.
With what's in front of your face.
Struggle-like.
Blake Griffin says he's going to take LSD so he doesn't punch people out anymore.
Yeah, it might work out for him. Then he won't be suspended for 4 games.
Yeah, how's that working out, you dummy?
Yeah. By the way, that's nothing. any other job, man, you punch somebody while you're on the job, you punch a coworker, you're like you're not fired, man.
Mm-hmm. Team initially said that the injuries would take 4 to 6 weeks to heal. No word on where we're at with that. What a crazy deal, man.
Dude, not only did he sock a dude, he hurt himself. Come on. Think about things, man.
Yeah.
I guess they said they're not going to trade him, so he's going to remain with the team. But, yeah.
Your boy Cam Newton says that he's a sore loser. That's why he walked out on the post-game interviews.
Yeah, he walked out, but he also, leading up to that point, he gave a lot of one-word answers.
He said he's been on record to say he's a sore loser. Who likes to lose? You show me a good loser, and I'm going to show you a loser. It's not a popularity contest. I'm here to win football games.
Yeah.
If anybody's got a problem with it, he says that's cool.
Yeah.
Well, you lost.
You did.
You lost, man.
I know. He says, think of you know, somebody who is a good loser. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Steve Nash lost a lot.
Yeah, he seemed to take it in stride. He was okay with that.
Having the best record in the NBA and then getting knocked out of the playoffs. He went through that a couple times. Got the MVP like two times. Should have had it three times.
Sure.
And but still didn't win it all. Then came to a team where you're supposed to win and then messed all that
Excellent.
Up.
Excellent. He's a good loser.
He's awesome.
It's Steve Nash.
Stevie Nash.
Yeah. And speaking of spending on Valentine's Day, you can actually purchase what they say is the most expensive bouquet of roses in the world. It's $13,000. These are roses that grow to be 5 feet tall in the mountains of Ecuador.
Oh, yeah, I was there. In the Andes, yeah.
You can get 1,000 5-foot-tall roses.
I have visited some 5-footers in the hills of Ecuador.
Yes, I bet you have.
Yes.
Yes, he has. But they weren't red roses. They was brown.
Yes. My favorite kind.
Yeah. They were the good kind, well, of brown.
Sure, with a little pink in them.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Finally, a pick alert for you. We're finally getting to see what the non-nude Playboy is going to look like.
Yep.
Cover girl Sarah McDaniel. Who,
don't you wish she had no clothes? Because I do.
I know. Well, I know exactly where they're going with this. They're going because this girl's popular on Instagram. Basically, what you're going to see is what a lot of these girls post on Instagram. It's like very close to nude, as much as they can get away with on Instagram. This is what you're going to see in the pages of Playboy now, and there are a trillion, as you know, with our pick alert. There are a trillion girls like this. But, I mean, you can just go to their Instagram accounts and see them taking their selfies. You don't even need a professional photographer.
Is somebody spending $5.95 or whatever it is to buy a copy of Playboy? Is somebody doing that?
Huh? Well, maybe on an airplane, like if you're on your way to take a flight or something, yeah.
Don't they have Wi-Fi on the plane? I mean, who
That's
is doing
point.
This anymore?
Wi-Fi is like 30. Last time I was on a plane over the holidays, they literally were charging $30 for a flight.
Southwest, it was only $8.
Good for you, champion.
Because I'm not big time. I'm on the basically the bus.
They've got you by the balls. That's like the worst fucking deal. Just is. You paid $8 for a flight that what was that took you an hour?
No, you could. One of the legs was longer than that. Yeah. I'm just saying. You don't have to be like that, man.
So it's Sarah McDaniel. She goes by the name Sarah Rose McDaniel on her Instagram account. Her nickname, Crotchy. Crotchy with a K.
Yeah,
Crotchy.
I'd like to see why. And you can't. That's the whole thing.
You're not going to be. There'll be no pink for you, my friend.
Yeah. Well, maybe one for the stink from her.
Right, exactly.
Uh-huh.
Plenty more newsforguys.com. That's going to do it for us. I'm Gary. He's Dino. Check out the podcast, GaryandDino.com is where you find a brand new show every single Friday. Just go to GaryandDino.com. From the New Normal Studios in Burbank, we're back to the Tom Likas Show right after this.
This is the New Normal.
DM Dino. Does that make any sense?
DM Ecstasy?
DM Ecstasy.
Oh, boy.
There you go.
Yeah.